Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
I've got the great privilege of sharing on this series, Sermon of the Mount, week two, A Blueprint for Life. This is more of a teaching series, not so preachy, more teachy, and more sort of studying God's Word. And this is a powerful sermon that Jesus preached, and probably one of the most well-known sermons of His preach, but I would say the least understood, maybe the least followed. And it's challenging for us to put this sermon into practice, but I think it's important as a church we gather around some of the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus and apply them into our lives. It's quite personal to me, this sermon. When I got saved at 15, I never knew about God or church or Jesus. I was a heathen and grew up in a heathen family on the northern beaches, and we didn't know about God or Jesus. But we need to get those people saved out there. We need to love on them now. And so I got saved, and then I joined this life group. And we talked about life groups earlier, and I was 15, and I remember it was 85. And I went to this life group every week on Wednesday night. I rode my little BMX there, and I had a yellow corduroy pants and matching yellow corduroy jacket. Now, I was the man. And so I would go to this life group, and the whole year they unpacked the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And I remember, 38 years later, I remember what was discussed. I remember the Sermon of the Mount during that year. I'd never read the Bible. I had no idea it could apply to my life. It changed me. And we cannot unpack the Sermon of the Mount in 25 minutes on a Sunday. We can't do it. But what we can do is give you a taste for it and hope and pray and inspire you to get in a life group so you can study the Word deeper and further. And we are having our life group study areas of the Sermon of the Mount that we're not covering in this series. So I encourage you, get in a life group. It changed my life as a 15-year-old kid. I can't remember what was preached. I can't remember what I preached last week, but I remember that Sermon of the Mount message 38 years ago. So let's be people of the Word of God. Let's read it. Let's study it. Let's get it into our lives and let it transform us. The other reason it's personal to me is Bonnie and I in 2019 went to Israel with a group of Elevation. We did the Jesus Trek, and we actually went to the Mount of Beatitudes. Here's a photo of where the sort of the Mount is, and this is where Jesus shared this sermon. And I'll just flick through these photos. There was something so powerful when Bonnie and I walked in the place that this scripture was taught. And it was very emotional for both of us. The Sea of Galilee, it had just rained, the flowers were blooming. It was a magnificent experience of just being present where Jesus shared this message. And my prayer, in the same way, God will make this message series so real to you. Yeah, it's my wife. Hey, babe. She's so good looking. We had a great... How good was that trip? It was Bonnie kind of pushed me to go. I'm always too busy. What are we going to do there? But they've just brought the whole Word of God into color for me. It was amazing. And so I pray that this message series will give you a new, fresh hunger for the Word of God. You have a new, fresh insight into the power of the Word of God. So let's jump in. Matthew 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is a city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot hear. Sorry about that. My verses aren't reading correctly, but I've got a backup here. Don't take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. Let what you say simply be your yes or you'll know. Anything more than this comes from evil. So Jesus here, he's addressing an issue of oaths. Now, it might not be common for us in today's day and age, but the Jewish people had built up a whole legal system regarding oaths, including whether they were binding or whether they weren't. One rabbi says, if you swear by Jerusalem, you're not bound by your vow, but if you swear towards Jerusalem, then you are bound by your vow. The swearing of oaths thus falls into this terrible rules which let you know whether you can get away by lying and deception and when you can't. And so we hear all this and we think, oh, that's a great history lesson. Thank you, Miles. But how does that help me on Monday morning when I'm getting my kids' lunches together for school? Well, the reason that Jesus taught this, and it was quite an important message that's actually talked further in another book of the Bible called James, that it's actually more about our character. And it actually reveals what we value. And so today we sort of have different oaths. We might say things like, we should catch up soon. What that means is we ain't catching up at all, but I just want you to feel good. We say things like, I should be able to do that. And that's giving you a way out so you're not fully committed. Or we can say, hey, I'll pray about that. That's a Christian way to say no, right? It's a Christian way to say, I ain't going to that thing, I'm not in it. Or I'll check with my calendar and get back to you. You ain't getting back to them. You're not even checking your calendar. And so we've sort of got these sayings and things we do, but our character is flawed. And the reason we do this is actually to please people, not God. So let's unpack this a little more. If I can be honest to you, and at Elevation we're always real and authentic, and I'm just going to tell you as it is, I struggle with this because often I'll be saying things like, I'll be praying for you. And it's hard for me to admit this, but I don't always pray for people when I say I will. Now, I want to, I intend to, but I just get busy and caught up. And so sometimes we can say things and don't follow through. Sometimes we can do things that we don't fully mean. I know you think I'm a terrible pastor. I'm just being real. Don't follow me, follow Jesus. But this is an area I believe we all need to sort of address and talk about in our life. Now, James felt this topic was so important. He says in James 5:12, but above all. So above all, this is an important issue. Above all, this is why we're talking about in church. Above all, my brothers, do not swear by either heaven or by earth or by any other oath. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Why does this matter? Why does this matter? These wishy-washy statements that we often say, it demonstrates there's not enough weight in one's character to confirm their words. This is about a character issue, an integrity issue. This is about who are we living to please and to be approved by. God wants us to be men and women of character who are faithful, trustworthy, honest, and have self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is a virtue who can master his desires and his passions. And I'll be honest with you, I struggle mastering my desires and my passions when I get a little cranky with the kids. And I, you know, have a bad day. But we are taught to be men and women of God who are being transformed into God's righteousness. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That kind of summarizes our purpose on this earth. It's to glorify our God. Now, I know in a Pentecostal church, we're about breakthrough and faith and declaring. And I believe all of that. You know me. We're about revival. We're about God moving. And this is part of our life, is also learning about the sanctification, the character, the transformation through God's word and his teaching. So we're going to go there today. We're doing both. We're not just doing one. We're doing both. We want to allow God to challenge us in the way we live to be more honoring to him. So often we allow the approval of man to be more important than the approval of God. And that is something that is dangerous. And that's something we often need to address. It's called people pleasing. The disease to please. Colossians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man? or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of the Lord. At the heart of people pleasing is valuing what people think over what God thinks. So I grew up with a stutter, and I had to have elocution lessons, and my mom had to help me. I was a very fearful little kid, and I hated public speaking. I couldn't do it. Even now, I still get nervous. I don't enjoy it. That's why I got a teaching team. Praise the Lord. We got a teaching team. And I give all the reasons why we have a teaching team. Different perspectives, allow us to study God's word, male, female voices, older, younger. I love the teacher. I think it's a better way to share God's word. But also there's a little bit of, I just hate preaching in there as well. But I struggled. And here's what I have to be honest about. There is a fact in life, when you are weak, that's when God can be strong. And the Bible says that, when I'm weak, I am strong. But if I'm honest, I can be more nervous about what you think than what God thinks in my preaching. And that's scary, and that's dangerous, and it's wrong. And so this preach is just as much for me as it is for you today. Because obsessing about what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. So true, isn't it? Craig Groeschel wrote that, and he was my pastor for 15 years. There is something that we can't let man's voice be louder than God's voice. We can be so afraid of rejection that we let people walk all over us. We can be so afraid of rejection, we lose sight of who we are. We become a chameleon. We change to meet the needs of other people. We can be so consumed with man's approval that we become someone else. People pleasing ultimately can affect our faith. Now, John speaks about some of the religious leaders who believed in Jesus, but because of people pleasing, they couldn't follow him. In John 12:42, many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for the fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. If ever that is a true statement in this day and age that we live in, of social media, of just pleasing and comparison and presenting and projecting, they loved human praise more than the praise of God. Can we be a church that loves the praise of God above all else? Can we be a church that pursues the things of God above all else? Can we be a church that fights not to allow the praise of man to change us or impact us? It's a real issue that we have to address and stay focused on. It's the praise of God that ultimately we pursue. They love the praise more of human more than the praise of God. They worried about what people thought more than what God thought. Now, here's where it gets confusing. There is nothing wrong with pleasing people. I want to please my wife. I want to please my job, my boss, to keep my job. You know, I want to please parents and friends. There's nothing wrong with pleasing people. But when we choose to please people at the expense of pleasing God, that's the issue. It's actually idolatry. And this is why this is such a big issue in the Sermon of the Mount, because we're not talking about oaths and sayings. We're talking about who we're serving, who comes first in our life, whose voices is loudest, who guides and directs our steps. This is an issue of idolatry. We can choose to please people over doing what's right. We can choose to please people over what's best for us. We can sell out for the praise of man. Now, here's where it gets even more tricky. We are taught to love one another. The great commandment is to love God and love others. So in loving one another, we want to be liked. We want to be nice. We want to be kind. We want to connect with people. There's an aspect we want to win people for the gospel. Absolutely. And that's healthy and that's all good. Until we want to be liked so much that it causes us to do something wrong or become something wrong. When we want to be liked so much, it causes us to overcommit. It causes us to drop balls, to exaggerate, to manipulate, to be fake, to be insincere. to cancel. And what happens is then, wanting to be liked, we do all these things, but then no one likes us anyway, because who wants to be around someone like that? And then we'll end up not liked. If we would just be men and women of God, kind, considerate, thoughtful, secure in who we are as Jesus, living for the approval of one, not everyone, then actually we become liked and we can have more influence and more effectiveness for the kingdom of God. Don't ask what will people think, ask what's the right thing to do. And so often people pleasing is born out of the need for approval or for fear of rejection, but only God can fill those needs. And whether you grew up in a difficult situation where your parents didn't give you approval, or you grew up in a work environment where you were bullied, or you grew up with some dysfunction where you're taken advantage of, God is the only one who can fill that void of being loved, of that void of identity, of security. So we can't spend our time spinning our wheels trying to impress people who can't fill those voids. Only God can. So instead of pleasing people, Scripture tells us to please God. Proverbs 29:25. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting in God, I love this word, means safety. There's something about security when you can just breathe and life's going to be okay when you're living for the approval of one, when you're serving the Lord. That there's a safety there, that there's this comfort there. You're not running around wondering, oh, putting out fires. What did you say? What did she think? He said, they said, I heard you. And it can be quite debilitating. But serving the Lord is where you find that safety. The fear of man led Pilate to slay the Savior. Take care that it does not lead you to do the same kind. The fear of man leads to all sorts of pain. And on the contrary, trusting in God leads to safety. Thessalonians 2:4. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God. We've been approved by God because Jesus died and rose again. Our sins are forgiven. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. If we're saved today, if we're followers of Christ, we come from the place of being approved by God. We have to earn it. We have to work towards it. We can receive it. To be entrusted with the gospel, we are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. If we don't learn to please God, we'll end up living a life that everyone else wants you to live. Your daddy, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse, and we'll never live the life that God intended us to live. Pleasing people will cost you. You will be misunderstood. You will be rejected. You will be ridiculed. You will be persecuted. Matthew 10:32. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Too often we ask what people think. It's the wrong question. What we should be asking is, what does God think? What does God think? What does God say? People are fickle, but God is constant. People will fail you, but God will never fail. People will make poor gods because Jesus is the only God. So that quote I said earlier from Craig Rochelle, obsessing about what people think is the quickest way for you to forget what God thinks, the opposite is true. Obsessing about what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget about what people think about you. So the way we overcome this disease to please is we just move the direction of who we're trying to impress. You can't just stop a habit. You have to replace the habit with another habit. So instead of comparing and worrying about what people think, we suddenly start to compare and worry about what God thinks. And so rather than be motivated by what does someone think about us, we start off by saying, God, what do you think about us? Now, this doesn't give us room to be rude, obnoxious, not to listen to anyone, because God often speaks through godly people. God often delivers his wisdom and counsel through good, godly people. But this is about your heart, with your security, your identity, your self-worth. Is it founded on the gospel that we're saved by grace through Jesus Christ? Or are we still trying to impress people we don't even know, and that don't even care about us, who we'll never even meet, to be something who we aren't for their benefit, and it robs us from fulfilling our destiny and our purpose that God has for you and I? I don't know about you, but you want to hang out with people who are secure, who know who they are, not trying to one-up you. There's nothing more annoying than having a conversation and the other person's trying to beat everything you're saying. Look, just who cares? Just be normal. Just, it's okay. I've learned early on I had to just talk it up. I ain't going to talk big stuff, you know, talk about big things. My wife is the most godly woman on planet Earth. You know what she talks about? The flowers and the sun and the meals we cook and just normal stuff. We don't need to try to hyperinflate the big subjects. It's nice just to talk about life. And even the beautifulness of life, it may be seem mundane and boring, but it comes out of this perspective of just security and who you are in Christ and strength and identity in Him. It's so freeing to live this way. 2 Corinthians 5:9. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to what? Is to please Him. Our goal on this earth isn't to amass wealth, although there's nothing wrong with that. Our goal on this earth isn't to have huge relationships, although there's nothing wrong with that. Our goal on this earth isn't to build a big church, nothing wrong with that. But our goal is to please God. And out of that motivation, if we keep that centered, if that becomes the focus and God becomes number one, then He's able to add all these other things to it. But if God isn't centered in your life, if He isn't the focus and the point, then God can't give us all the other goodness that He has for us because it's upside down. There is this process of order in God's kingdom, and He's first. He won't be second. He is a jealous God. And this whole concept of pleasing people is about putting God first. Since what we do right now has eternal consequences, our goal must be persistently to please God. You report to headquarters. Never mind what anybody else thinks of you. Your business is to please Christ. And the less you trouble yourselves about pleasing men, the more you will succeed in doing it. Pleasing God often means disapproving people because you can't please everybody. John 5:41, Jesus told the religious leaders, "Your approval means nothing to me." What mattered to Jesus was the approval of His Father. His motivation, His drive was to please His Father in heaven, not to win the accolades and the praise of man. You can't please everyone. And often saying no to good things allows you to say yes to the best things. We live from our identity in Christ. Imagine if we as a church, across all our elevation locations, and we lived out of this place of security in Christ. We lived where God's opinion mattered most. We lived out of the approval and the audience of one instead of the masses. Imagine every time we did something, we said, "God, what would you want me to do? God, show me." We asked the question, "God, what would you want?" Let's be those people. Let's be a people that live for Him. Because one day, we will all give an account for this life. Romans 14:12. Yes, each one of us will have to give in a personal account to God. This is a great people-pleasing antidote, because typically the approval of man does not measure up or matter compared to the approval of God. How short is life? And our resources are limited. our time is limited. So for us to spend our wheels and our time and our energy impressing people we don't even know is a great tragedy. But to spend our time impressing our God, living out of that approval, is really the ways of the kingdom of God. So the teaching in the Sermon of the Mount and all of these different principles we can apply is about Jesus bringing a higher way of living called the kingdom of God. Most of us just live down here in the kingdom of this earth, just run by our emotions and we go through our day to day. But God is trying to capture us and say, hey, there's another way to live. And that's to live for me. And the Sermon of the Mount is this beautiful picture of how to do that. 1 John 2:17. This world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases the Lord will live forever. Father, I pray today we would be a people that please you. That we would be reminded we are actually born and created to please you. You're our creator. We are part of your creation. We are not a God unto ourselves. We are not a law unto ourselves. We humbly submit and we humbly repent and we humbly come before you to say, God, we want to live for your approval. Because ultimately, that's what matters. Ultimately, we will meet you face to face and give an account for our life on this earth. And we want to live to approve you, God. Still praying this morning with eyes closed and heads bowed. I want to pray for you, for those who don't know Christ. And you've been living your own life. But there is actually a God in heaven who sent his son Jesus to die and rose again so that you could live for God. This is the gospel just brought down to this simplicity. Do you live for yourself or do you live for God? Jesus died so you can live for God, so your sins could be forgiven. It's actually the only way is to surrender your life, to say, God, be my Lord, be my Savior, my life is not my own. Then God will come in and direct you and guide you and actually change you to be more like him. My eyes closed and heads bowed. You want Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. Just me and some of the team looking around. Would you boldly raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to be saved. I want to live for my God. I want to live for the approval of him. I want to surrender my life. For too long, I've been living my way, doing things the way I want. But today's the day I want to surrender my life to the Lord. Just raise your hand if that's you. Secondly, I want to pray for those who are Christians. And maybe you've been challenged today that you've been living your life for the approval of man. You've been doing good things. You've been pleasing your kids, pleasing your spouse, pleasing your boss. They're not bad. But if it is at the expense of pleasing God, that's a problem. Because God wants to be first. He wants to be number one in our lives. The Bible says when we give our lives to our God, our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. It's actually his. We are his. And I want to pray for us that God would give us the courage. God would reveal his love, so that we can walk in the identity of who we are in Christ, sons and daughters of the Most High God, lived, loved, valued. And that approval comes from Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, not from man. I'd love to pray for you this morning. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, yeah, Miles, I've been living for the approval of others. It's time. I want to live for the approval. Thank you for all your hands being raised. Father, I pray that we would surrender this morning and give us a reminder, give us an insight. We're here on this earth to live for you. And we're going to do it boldly. We're going to do it courageously. We're going to do it unashamedly. Lord, we're going to spend our time living for you. And out of that, we can fulfill the call of God on our life, the destiny, the purpose, the future. And we can be the people you want us to be.